This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:12 and we're talking about how restaurants have been affected by the CMCO on the evening edition today. And we are going to be crossing over to Darren Chin, founder of DC Restaurant, and Ernest Ong, founder of Ali Muthu and Ahok. Before we get to that, though, do let us know whether you are now comfortable to dine out. Has that happened for you yet? Again, you can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Ernest, Darren, thank you both so much for joining us. So first off, how have you and your business been affected by the events of this year and the MCO in particular? Darren, maybe you can start us off.
Okay. So in every aspect, actually, the way we live, the way we survive, the way that we conduct our businesses, it has been completely at a standstill. There's nothing during the MCO. Of course, now with the CMCO, they have loosened up a little bit of restrictions. So, but during the MCO of May 18th onwards to yesterday, it has been very damaging actually for the business, because when that happens, everything's at a standstill. There's no business to be made. There is a lot of hemorrhaging in the business. A lot of suppliers need to be paid on time, of course. But most importantly is the salaries to the staff. I mean, there is a choice to make. I mean, if newer businesses that I just opened this year, like my third restaurant, the Cafe David, we couldn't sustain the staff, and that was the main thing. You know, of course, we had to keep the premises because we're still renting from people. We still need to pay the rent, but the owners of the premises have been very accommodating, and they've been very kind to us by reducing some of the rent by sometimes 30% or 40%, which that helps. But there was no money to be made. There was no incoming of funds. So that's very, very bad and damaging for any size of business. Because the only way you can do that is just with the savings and the threshold or the this treasure chest that we have built up over the years of business. But that isn't relevant case to certain, like my third restaurant we just opened this year. I mean, in February 14 this year, just couldn't sustain. It was completely bled out, completely washed out.
And Ernest, what about you?
Well, for us, we've got actually two nature of business. One is, as you know, we've got Tom, Dick and Harry's, and that's more of like an entertainment in nature kind of business, right? Where we're known for having good live acts, good live music. That is a complete standstill for us. I mean, we've got more than 100 headcounts for that business. On the other hand, we have also another brand called Ali Muthu and Ahok. I must say, the nature of Ali Muthu and Ahok has switched a little. Before the MCO, we used to do a lot of walk-ins or outlets. If you've been there, it's always packed most of the time. But now, the way we run this business is a bit different now. We are still running. We've got 6 outlets, but we're only running 5 now, which we're doing a lot of takeaways for offices, for other businesses as well. And we have also taken this opportunity to, because most of our staff they're still under the payroll, so we're taking this opportunity to also do a lot of food development, new items and all.
Right.
Prior to this, of course, you know, last year was slow, and then at the beginning of this year, we saw the business was picking up a little, and then we've got an MCO. So, yeah. Yep.
So right now then, as we hit towards the CMCO and, you know, eventually perhaps no MCO whatsoever, what are your thoughts on reopening for dine-in customers and extending your hours of operation, or just, you know, resuming operations as a whole? Darren, do you feel ready?
Okay. So reopening, it's all about building confidence of the customer. I mean, as of now, there are two sides to the story. There are two sides to the coin, okay? There are clients or potential clients or residents, you know, who are still staying at home because they are against the CMCO. They think it's a bit too early to actually give this lifting and lightening up the restrictions. But I think prior to pre-opening of the individual restaurants which decide to go for dine-in have to prepare and to build that confidence with the customer. In order to do that, of course, you know, there are many, very, very, there are many various ways besides the SOP that's being implemented, you know. Mm. And, of course, we need to allow the guests to decide and to get used to the new normality of life. Whether or not they don't want to go out, it's totally up to them. We are not forcing, we can't force a person to come out if they don't want to come out. But you only can prepare yourself. And you know, of course, there is SOP guidelines and so forth. You know, everyone has to follow it. You know, if you don't follow it, then you know, of course, you'll be fined and so forth. And we don't want to get to that predicament. But of course, it's the fear that's being instilled in people's minds that they have to protect their family, which is rightfully so. But businesses need to somehow open at a time. When is the right time? We never know. And of course, we need to have a leader, and our Prime Minister is our leader, to tell us when we're able to do so. But of course, the government is not helping so much because of their flip-flop in the way they conduct certain rules that they implement. So one day is one thing, the next day is another thing, and then the following day is like something else. So it's very confusing sometimes for a lot of people, especially for business owners like myself. It's very confusing, and it's a very tedious process because you plan towards something, and then suddenly the government changed their mind to something else. Open the business, whether you want to dine, you want to do takeaways only, you want to do both. Slowly, I think we just have to slowly build the business back again.
Ernest, what about you? In terms of resuming operations, welcoming dine-in customers, do you feel ready?
Of course, we are ready for that. But what we have opted is I totally agree with Darren on gaining back the confidence of our clients, of our customers. But ultimately, what we stand for is we want to be a bit more civic conscious in that sense. What we have opted is, of course, some of our restaurants are located in different locations, which actually allows us to open. But we are opting for a wait-and-see option where, of course, safety is the top priority for us, for our clients, and also for our staff. Mm. And hence, besides having the confidence, we need to be confident ourselves that when we open, our staff and our customers are safe, right? And from a business standpoint, also no point for us to open because at the moment, because when we open, we incur more losses than just doing takeaway, right? I don't think at this point, a lot of people are receptive to coming and to dine in the outlet, as to say.
Ernest, on that note, what is the level of demand for takeaways and delivery at the moment for you?
Well, we're doing around almost, for Alimutu Ahok, right?
Yes.
We're doing around 60, I would say probably 60% of what we used to do total for our business, for Alimutu. But Tom Dick Harris, of course, it's zero. We're not open for takeaway as well.
And Ernest, you mentioned there are workers, and that's a question that I'd like to direct to both of you. How are you preparing and training the workers to ensure that guidelines are met, that they feel comfortable and safe coming back to work? Darren, is that a conversation that you've had to have?
Well, I mean, of course, we had to protect the safety of the staff, is what Ernest said. But as I said also before, the government has implemented certain guidelines to follow, and we will definitely follow the guidelines as stipulated. Well, One thing that's confusing is this, is the COVID test. It's like all foreign labor, we all use foreign labor. Who's going to wash the dishes? I mean, there's somebody who needs to wash dishes. I mean, you're obviously going to use foreign labor. You're not going to pay a local fresh grad to wash dishes at 2005. It's not possible. It's not viable. So you need foreign labor, okay? So now minister says foreign labor needs to all foreign labor, all sectors, service sector, construction sector, every sector needs to go for COVID test. One COVID test is 700 ringgit. And how about the local staff? Do the local staff need to go for COVID test before they commence? I mean, of course, the other formalities, things like wearing masks, wearing gloves, you know, wash your hands, you know, keep yourself clean and so forth. Like for my second restaurant, Breath, we actually putting up acrylic screenings because it's an open kitchen to prevent any contact between any food contamination or so forth, you know, between the kitchen and the customer sitting at the counters. We're doing that in place. Of course, hand sanitizers, temperature probes, you know, taking down the temperature of the person, taking the names, you know, the time and so forth. Before we are opening any restaurant, we are engaging with a full sanitation process where they do fumigation. They will spray a sanitizer, you know, and it lasts for 3 months. And that costs a lot of money, you know, just for one-off thing that lasts for 3 months. You know, it's how much? 150 a square foot? Mm. So they go by square footage. They don't go by, like, one operation, you know. So these are the preventive measures that we are taking before we actually open, because most importantly is safety, lah, you know, safety.
Ernest, what has your experience been, especially across all the different branches as well, you know, in terms of thinking about your staff?
We, as a group, we still maintain our staff. And just before the MCO started, like almost 1.5 months ago, what I did was I personally went to every outlet and conducted a town hall just to explain to all our staff, because we have staff from different countries, and, you know, some of them are not so educated. They don't know how serious this thing can be, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I personally conducted a town hall for every individual outlet just to explain to them how serious this thing can be. And majority of our staff, actually, some of them stay in a hostel. And our HR department has also implemented very strict rules for the hostels, right? That we will provide all the meals for you. All we need you to do is, you're still under the payroll, all we need you to do is you just have to stay at the hostel, right? No going out or whatsoever. If you have to leave anything more than 10 minutes, action is to be taken. Right? This is just to secure our side of the staff.
I got a question for Ernest. I mean, sorry for interrupting.
Yeah.
Ernest, do you agree with the government asking all foreign labor to go for COVID tests?
I think it needs to be at least subsidized or something, right? Because already we are suffering huge losses, right? There's no way on earth that someone that has probably... our group has almost 300 staff headcount.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about 20 headcounts, right? That'd be pretty heavy.
Hey,
700 bucks times 20 would be pretty heavy for a lot of businesses.
Yeah.
Right? So the government should structure it in such a way that, you know, let's have a program by area or by industry, and then they can probably say, you know, you pay later, or you pay in stages, but come and do it first, right?
Yep.
So they have to, I mean, they have to provide some form of, not guarantee, but some form of flexibility so that everyone will be confident as operators to ensure all the staff are safe, right?
Mm. Mm-hmm. And that's a pretty big theme, I think, throughout our chat today, that there's been this idea of confidence, both on the side of the owners and the purveyors, as well as the staff, and then ultimately the customers, right? And I think it's a flow-through thing. There was a question that I was curious about, which is whether or not you're going to have to revise your capacity for dine-in customers now that we're all thinking about distancing. Darren, how does that affect your restaurants?
It's a given. It's part of the SOP that's given that has been implemented by the government. There is social distancing. There is 1 meter apart from each table.
Mm-hmm.
A table for four, you only can put 2 packs. A table for six, you only can put 3 packs, for example. So it's one pack of spacing apart. If you decide to do dine-in, yes, of course. If you calculate it based on capacity wise, you're only operating at probably 30% or 40% of your capacity, which essentially will affect your overall gross sales. But as far as I'm concerned, if this is the new normal, fine. We adapt to the situation and we'll do what we can. Rather than having zero business, I'd rather have at least something that we can sustain the restaurant,
mm-hmm,
as well as, you know, the well-being of the staff. Because at the end of the day, this is not about making money. This is about survival. At 30%, we all know it's not about making money. It's about sustaining the livelihood of the staff, giving them money, salary for work, But we need to give them work first. But work, you know, and we just need to adapt, you know, to these restrictions.
Sure. And Ernest, for you, especially when I'm thinking about something like Tom, Dick and Harry, how's that going to work out?
Well, for Tom, Dick and Harry, to be honest, we don't have a clear picture or a clear plan yet, right? But for Ali Muta and Ahok, yes, we are looking into changing the way we do business, making our product more accessible through other means besides dining in, right? So a majority of our items that we sell can be packed in a takeaway box or can be packed nicely where you can actually bring back to your office or your home individually. And we are looking into changing the way we do our business for Ali Muta and Ahok, like going online, creating websites, apps and all. But for Tom, Dick and Harry's, unfortunately, at this point, we do not have a clear plan yet, or we have not really put thoughts into how we're going to revise it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And finally, gentlemen, I mean, there have been ongoing conversations about what the new normal will look like for a whole, you know, for all of us. And I think that's really been also the focus of what we've been talking about today. So for you then, thinking about the rest of the year and this quote-unquote new normal, how do you see this playing out for the F&B industry? Darren, what do you think?
The only cure is a vaccine. We all know this. And that's the only normality that we can actually hope for the future. From now till then, to that point, we just need to adapt to the government. They are still our leaders, so we have to follow their rules. So we will just have to follow the rules and adapt to ourselves. And just, it's not about getting through this. I think it's more about surviving through this. And if we can survive through this, at the end of the day, I think we can count ourselves very, very fortunate. And to be very honest with you, I mean, yesterday was my first time coming out from the house. I haven't set out from the house since March 18. I was stuck at home. And when you go out, it doesn't feel the same anymore. It just feels strange. it just feels strange to see people distancing. Well, first thing you can see is people really is distancing themselves. They don't want to get sick. They don't want to have body contact. They don't want to have... They want to just go about doing their own thing. And in terms of a social way, a lifestyle way, I think this is really going to affect everyone. And it just needs time to kind of get used to it. You know, is dining out, going out to good restaurants, going out to common restaurants, you know, I think it's just about the adaptability. But it does feel weird at first.
Mm. Ernest, what do you think? Is this how it's going to be?
Yeah, I think I would have to agree with Darren too. Where the reaction or the character of all the customers would change definitely. And yeah, for Ali Muta and Ahok, we have another three outlets that were under construction prior to this MCO, right? And of course, the construction has stopped, and we had to restructure it. Probably change some design to accommodate more, design it in such a way that it can accommodate more takeaways rather than dine-in. The entire design would have to change. The entire team would have to be restructured to cater to the new norm, right?
Yes. And I think that's all we have at this point in time. Thank you both very, very much for joining us today. We've been speaking with Darren Chin, who's the founder and chef at DC Restaurant, as well as Ernest Ong, founder of Ali Muta and Ahok. And together we've been talking about the new normal for the food scene, really. If you have any thoughts or questions, you can send them through. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.